you got your Bible tonight, 1 Kings chapter number 3. I want to tell Brother Jarvis and the church, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. I love preaching. It's my heart's desire to minister. And I just don't want to get up and spout words, but I want to help somebody when I minister. I want the word to be able to be a balm, like the balm in Gilead, to soothe souls and hearts and comfort and revive and strength. Don't we need revival? Don't America need revival? London needs a sweeping revival. It could start right in the middle of London. It could start right here in the middle of First Pentecostal Church. A great booming revival. What would happen if one or two would just get together and agree? And it's untelling what God's going to do. And we've seen great things so far, but God's got a whole lot greater than that. We haven't seen the half of it yet. I guess I'll go ahead and read my text. 1 Kings chapter number 3. We'll start out in verse 16. When you find it, say amen. It said, then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day that after that I was delivered, and this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose in the midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her own bosom. And she laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I awoke in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. And they spake before the king. And the king said, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son liveth. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned within her upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. And the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. That's all I'm going to read. I could read the next verse. But this is familiar text, familiar story. Solomon, David had passed away, and David's son Solomon had took his stead as a king. And now we find Solomon, God had gave Solomon a dream and asked Solomon, said, Solomon, you ask me whatever you shall, and said, I'll give it to you. And we know that Solomon, being what he asked for wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. And he said, I gave you this wisdom, not because you wanted it for yourself, but because you wanted to help others. I give this to you because you wanted to use it to help the people. And we find here in this situation, it's kind of an odd situation here. These two women in one house, and both of them had childs. One of them had a baby one day, and 3 days later, the next one had a baby. But we find one of the ladies neglected her baby, and in the middle of the night, she rolls over on her baby and smothers it and destroys the life of that child. She schemed within herself what to do about the situation. And at midnight, she went and took her dead child and placed it in the arms of the other lady and took the living child. And now we've got a situation where who's the mama? We've got a situation on who's the parent of this child. And they bring the matter before the king, and the king says, I've got a remedy for this. and said, what you need to do is bring me the child, but also bring me a sword. And when you bring the sword, said, I'm going to take this child and I'm going to divide it in half. And said, when I divide it in half, said, I'll give one half to one of the ladies and the other half to the other lady. And Solomon was no fool. He knew that he could not divide the child and the child live. That's impossible. Don't work that way. But he knew that by putting this out there, that the true mama would, the mom intentions would cry out. A true mama cares for her kids, does she not? A true mama loves her children. And the true mama, as we read through here, she cried out, in no wise slay it, but let it, in no wise slay it, she said. Divide, in verse 25, divide. He said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child. Don't let it die, is what she said. And tonight I want to preach on let it live. I want to pray. God, I ask tonight you give me the tongue of the learned. I might speak a word tonight, the right words tonight. God, to help us as a church, help us individually draw closer to you. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. She did not want, she loved that child. And it was just not just another baby just to be, just had or discarded. But she had such love for that child. She said, I want it to live. And here in the Bible it mentions no name for that baby. So because it had no name, I felt responsible enough tonight to name that baby. A baby should have a name, shouldn't it? And I want to name that baby Revival. And that baby is just a little old baby, and it don't know much at all, and can't take care of itself. But it won't be long. It'll be big enough and wise enough to take care of itself. But here we find the situation, Brother Charlie. I've got something here. I need to bring it out. Some people learn different ways. Some learn by visualization. Some learn by hands-on touching, seeing, or whatever. I've got a few things I've got. Brother Charlie, where you at? Brother Charlie. All right. I brought Amelia's baby doll. She was worried to death about me doing something to it. She thought I was really going to divide it in half. But I told her I'd take care of it. I wasn't going to hurt it. She said it's one of my best ones. Brother Charlie, you care to hold that? It's this sword that he's got in hand. The king said, send forth for the sword. Said, divide that child. Divide that child. In the day and hour we're living in, they don't care nothing about a baby. You hear me? I believe there's over 54 million babies since Roe versus Wade has been in effect. 54 million babies been destroyed. But this baby is not just any baby for her church. This baby is called Revival. And you know what the world says? Destroy that child. Destroy Revival. The church don't need Revival. Just let the church stay where it is. It's been like this all these years. Everybody's doing fine. And guess what? They're not affecting the world. They're not bothering us. That's what they like. They want the church to remain dormant and silent and stay in its crib, if you will. They don't want it to get nourishment enough that it could get up and go out and speak and win some soul. They want us to sit on a pew where we can come to church and just sit here and just hear a sermon and go back out the door and not changed and not helping or not reflecting or not making any difference. But may I tell you, we must have Revival. And I stand tonight between that man with that sword and I pray, don't slay that child. That child, that don't kill. Let it live. Let Revival live. What we've had going on around here, don't stop it. We had a young man over here a few weeks back. Jacob got the Holy Ghost. And I stand tonight, don't stop that. Don't slay it. Let God do more than that. And we took a bunch of youth camp with us. And I seen some of them young kids. And my heart went after them. And I seen them over worshiping God. And I seen God moving. And I seen the Spirit of God upon them. And some of them were speaking in tongues. And some of them was laughing in the Holy Ghost. And you said, I've never heard that. Maybe you need to get a little bit more. Maybe you'll enjoy yourself in such a manner. But God was moving in such a great way. But the devil would say, slay that. The devil would say, stop that. And kill that. But as a preacher tonight, I ain't telling you to kill it. But I'm telling you tonight, as a church, we should stand. We should say, let it live. I don't want it to die. But I want it to move. I want it to breathe in me. I want it to touch the world. I want the church to be in revival. I don't want it just sit on a pew. But I want to be used and moved on by God. It's such an hour and day as this when we've come to the kingdom of God. You're in the church for this hour, for this day. And we stand. And Solomon was not going to, he wasn't going to destroy that baby. But he knew that that mama's cry, he knew that mama would cry out, let it live, let it live. Do it no harm. You can go ahead and sit down, Brother Charlie. You've done a super duper job. Appreciate that. But that sword, the devil has all kinds of swords and devices against the church, against the little ones, against the big ones, against the middle-aged, against those that's in between. He'd like to stop you from having revival. He'd like to stop the church from experiencing a great swell and move of God. Oh, we can look back at days past, back in 69, where God sent the Holy Ghost to First Pentecostal Church, and there's over 84, I believe it was, baptized with the Holy Ghost? And is God still the same? I said, is God still the same? God's the same yesterday and today and forever, and He changeth not. But He cries out for a people that would hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what God's looking for? God's looking for you. It ain't that He has not the power. He's got all power. But He's looking for a person that's willing and available. A person say, here I am, I, Lord. Here I am, God. Use me. Let me be the vessel. Let Your Spirit breathe in me. Let it breathe on me, oh God. Let the breath of God breathe fresh on me. Don't let it die, but let it live. When you raise your hands, when you feel the presence of God, quench not the Spirit of God. We need revival. I can't afford. Mary Josiah, you didn't think just coming up here. Come up here. Could we afford? Let me ask you this quickly. Come on. I told him he's got turtle disease, and I believe he does. Sometimes in the mornings it's hard to get him. Come on, let's move a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to get him moving a little bit. I told him he had turtle syndrome. He's getting a little bit better. And I love this boy. But guess what? I can't afford to lose him. Could you imagine if we lost Josiah in this race? Go over here and stand. Do it slowly. I can't afford to lose him. You can't afford to lose him. Can you imagine tonight if we lost Abigail? Because the church didn't have revival, there wasn't a move of God enough to satisfy the souls of the young people. We've got to have a movement inside the church. And God's moving. I ain't saying He isn't. But God's moving, but He wants to do much, much, much more. It's God's will. It's God's plan. You don't have to guess about it. You don't have to go in here and say, is it God's plan for revival? It is. Is it God's plan for Him to move on me? Yes, it is. Is it not lawful for God to do what He wants to with His own? Can God do with you as He pleases? Does He have full access? Does He have full control? When He speaks, do you obey? Or do you say, was that You, Lord? Don't hesitate. You say, well, I'm afraid I'll get in the spirit, flesh. I'm afraid I'll get in the flesh. I'm afraid I'll get in myself. You have to get in yourself. That's who God uses. He uses you. He uses this old flesh to glorify the Master. Oh, ain't he good? He is so sweet to trust him. I love my Master. And my Master wants to send revival. And these two women, they had this baby. And Solomon was wise enough to work and devise the plan. God had spoke to Solomon. And that lady, oh, that's what I'm crying out. I want to cry out just like that lady did. Let it live. Don't smother it out. Don't hide it somewhere in a corner. Because you'll hear the baby crying. And they'll be crying out, feed me. You know, babies need nourishment. Revival needs nourishment. It ain't just going to fall upon you. Revival, when praises go up, glory comes down. God only goes where he's wanted. He's a gentleman. He don't come bombarding through the doors, and he don't kick the doors in and say, here I am. Ask. Seek. Knock. See if he won't pour out you a blessing. Josiah, keep standing. We need you. But you, could you imagine? Come here, Landon. Is Landon in here? Come here, Landon. Stay up here, baby. It's a good young man. He's full of energy. It's untelling what God's got for him. He's got a lot of knowledge up here. But he's full of energy. Kind of like I was. But I didn't have much knowledge. But I had a lot of energy. But could you imagine? Can we afford to give him up? How much would you, if we was to put him on the market tonight? Wonder what we could get from Landon Gilpin tonight. Would mama cry out tonight? That's my boy. He's not for sale. Would mama cry out, let him live? We're going to take him and slay him over here in the fields. What are you going to cry out, mama? What? I can't hear you. You really want him to live? You sure? Don't kill him. Don't put him in the field somewhere. You can sit down. Oh, we need some mamas to cry out. We need some mamas to get behind some babies. We need some daddies to get behind some boys and say, son, I don't care if you ever make it to be a ball player. I don't care if you make a three-point shot. Daughter, I don't care if you can crochet every quilt in the county. I don't care if you can play every ensemble there is. Just as long as you get in that altar and God touches your life. And when God touches your life, he puts his spirit in you. And you turn out to be a good preacher's wife one day. Or you turn out to be a piano player or something for God in church. Just so the spirit of God lives inside you. That's why I brought my children here for. I didn't bring them here for any other reason other than that spirit of God. That God would breathe, that they'd live. I don't want them dying. I don't want them dying. I want them to live. And I'll stand before the enemy tonight. I'll stand and say, they're going to live. Enemy, get your hands off of them. Enemy, get behind me. Let it live. You and I've got a choice in the matter. You've got a choice in this issue. Devil says they're going to be destroyed. And you say, you've got a vote in this matter. God says they can make it. The enemy says they can't make it. You decide. You cast the final vote. Can they make it or can they not make it? Are they going to make it? And daddy's sitting over in the corner somewhere. You go ahead and sit down, Josiah. We need you. Sit wherever you want. They're not going to make it if we sit like sir here in the service. They're going to not make it if we're worried about our roast at 12 o'clock on Sunday morning. No, they're not. They're not going to worry. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I don't know what all who does what. I ain't got to watch. But if we're watching the watch and we're counting the time down and we're worried about how long the preacher's preaching or we worried about how long the Spirit of God's, man, I'd love to have a fresh dose of the Spirit of God moving and breathing in such a mighty way that you'd fan from one side of the church to the other side of the church. You'd get lost in the Holy Ghost and you wouldn't worry about who's beside you. You wouldn't worry about who's behind you. You wouldn't worry about who's in front of you. But your eyes would be fixed to the Master and you'd say, God, have your will on me. I want to feel that power. I want to live. I want to live. I want to live in such a way I'd be bringing pleasure. I'd please you. Well, God is good. Yes, He is. He's good all the time. You can search the world over. No greater friend you'll find. He's not good just part of the time. He's good all the time, Brother Mike Broughton. He's good whenever we're sick. He's good whenever we're without a job. He's still God, and He still holds the foundation of the earth. And His eyes upon the sparrow. His eyes upon the church. I appreciate Brother Jarvis this morning preaching about revival. We need revival. More than a new piano. More than a new roof. Yeah, we need a roof. But more than the roof tiles, we need revival. We need a sweeping revival. And we ought to examine ourselves. God, am I doing what I need to get revival? Is it me? Is it me, Lord, standing in the need of prayer tonight? God, is it me, Lord, hindering revival? If I'm in the middle of it and I'm hindering revival, God, put me where I need to be so I can be used. I don't want to stop the flow. But I want to get in the river and let the river flood over my soul in such a mighty way. Wow. Look over your neighbor and say, I want it to live. Look over and say, let it live. Do you mean that? Don't you stop it, John Martin.
Tell me the same thing.
No, you tell me, Brother Mayor, don't you stop it.
Mayor, you stop it.
No, don't stop it.
Don't stop it.
It's all right. Caught him off guard. I dare you to have revival. I said, I dare you to have revival. I dare you to push the plate back. I dare you to get on the knees and pray. When you do, see if God don't pour out His Spirit. You want to get God's attention? Get in that old prayer closet. And when you enter into the prayer closet, shut the door behind you. And when you enter in your prayer closet in secret, He'll reward you openly. It'll show. It will show. You won't be able to hide it. You can't hide when you pray. If you're really praying it, there'll be results. Trying to stay sweet. I hope I'm sweet tonight. But I need revival. I need a move of God's sweet Spirit. I need heaven to come down in my soul. I need heaven to come down in the church. And He's done it before. Let it live. Let it live. So much potential here. First Pentecostal Church. So much potential. Oh, what God could do. Have you looked around? Empty spots. Who belongs there? Who is it that belongs in these seats beside of us? So much potential. I want it to live. I want to do my part. I want to put my hand to the wheel. The Bible says, he that put his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom.
Only one preacher preached on only fingerprints on the plow. You know what he meant? That ain't how you hold a baby, I know. I've never done any of my kids like that. He meant he got such a grip on that plow that nothing could plow it or pull it out of his hands. Oh, that we'd get a hold of God tonight, just as Jacob wrestled with the angel. And he grabbed a hold of the angel, and the angel said, "Let me go." He said, "I ain't gonna let you go." He said, "Let me go." He said, "I ain't gonna let you go." He said, "Let me go. Day's breaking." He said, "I ain't gonna let you go." He said, "I won't let go until you bless me." And he wrestled with him all night long. He wrestled yet lately with God. If you're going to have revival, you're going to have to do some wrestling. And when you get through wrestling, guess what? At the daybreak, the sun shone upon him at daybreak. And he woke up and got up. And no longer was he weak Jacob. He walked like he's here now. He walked with a limp. He may have had a limp there, but he had power here. Because God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. For thou hast power, God. Let it live. Hold on, you ain't seen nothing yet. One preacher said, "Buckle your seat, put in your poly grip, we're going for a ride." You ain't seen nothing yet. Eyes haven't seen, neither ears heard what God has in store for his people. Brother Aaron, I was going through my tapes today, and I came across a tape where you preached. I got it at my house in a tape box. And I was going to bring it tonight, which I ain't got the tape, but just visualize it. It's right here. Brother Aaron, you better grab a hold of it, brother. You better let it live, son. God's got a plan for you. God's got great plans and intentions and design upon your life. And I appreciate you're my friend. But we got to let it live. Don't let it die. Stoke the coals. Get in the altar. If somebody gets in your way, say, "Move, I've got to touch God. Excuse me. Me and God's got an appointment." Let it live. Don't smother it out. But the world looks, and I ain't going to get dangerous with this. They say, "Cut it down. Cut it out. That old church ain't worth much. First Pentecost has been there all them years. There's been a lot come through the doors, Brother Mike Broughton, at First Pentecostal Church. There's been a lot come through the bus ministry at First Pentecostal Church. Bunches. God's not through yet. Do you hear me? Even though the enemy says, cut it down. The enemy says, turn off the lights. Shut the doors. Shut the school down. That's what he says. But you know what I say? Shut up, devil. Get behind us. For thou savest not the things of God. But we seek after a God that hears our voice. We seek after God when we pray. He answers our prayer. Right speedily. We don't have to wait 6 or 8 months for an answer from God. But we got access to God. He lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? Does he live within you? How is that Christ within you? He's sending revival throughout the land. And it don't have to bypass us. They sing that song, "Pass me not, old gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Do not pass us by." you throw your hands up right now and say, God, don't pass us by. Stop by here, God. Stop by here tonight. God, I need revival. My family's at stake. My church is at stake. If I don't have revival, give me revival lest I die. Anybody want to obey God? In fact, to tear off the roof. In fact, to break down the walls. To touch Him. I'll do it. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down among us. He's coming. He's coming in power. Well, hell, that blessed hour. But before He comes, He's not coming back after a weak, anemic church. When He left, the church was on fire. He's coming back after a church that's on fire. He's coming back after a church that's alive. Don't kill revival. Don't you kill revival. You say, well, I really don't want revival. We went through this 40 years ago, and we went through this 50 years ago. We need it today. If it was real then, it's got to be real now. He's still the same God as yesterday, as I already said, and today and forever. He changed not. Brother James Hacker, I need revival. And I want it to live. And I stand tonight because the enemy's saying you can't do it. There's no way possible. God don't move like that no more. God don't touch people like that no more. He's a liar. I said, he's a liar. Because at E-Town Camp, I seen God move upon some young people. I've never seen some things. And I've seen a lot of strange things. Believe you me, as Brother Huff would say, believe you me, I have seen some things that's not even of God closely. But I know that was God. God touched a little girl that was shying backwards. And she was speaking in unknown tongues. Laughing in the Holy Ghost. There's joy in serving Jesus. Real joy. Joy that the world can't produce. The joy of the world is temporary. It's for a season. But when He fills with the Holy Ghost, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a river inside your heart. Let it live. I commend you by the mercies of Christ. Let's have revival from the pulpit to the pew. Let's have revival. It starts with you and me. I challenge you. Let's have revival. Brother John, stand up and throw them hands up toward heaven. Brother John Martin, you're my friend. Throw them hands toward heaven. Ask God, send revival. Brother Jonathan Larry, you're my friend. Them two little girls need you to have revival. Won't you stand and throw them hands up toward them? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. Say, God, send us revival. Would it be anybody else without me asking? Would it be anybody saying, God, please, please, God, we're down here in trouble and we need a move. The country of heaven's throne, not something that's man-made, but something that sweeps over the church. Something that puts breath back in the church. Something that causes us to stand upon our feet. Can these bones live? Thou knowest. Thou knowest, God. Thou knowest, God. Prove me, saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up thee the windows of heaven, pour thee out a blessing which thou art not able to contain. Prove me, saith the Lord. Praise me in the sanctuary. Praise me upon the harp. Praise me upon the cymbal. Praise me and prove me, and see if thou not open up the windows for you and your family, saith the Lord. Can we come around the altar? Can we come around this altar tonight? Raise your hands. Raise your voice. Let's be conscious. Let's realize God's in this place. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. God's here to visit us. God's came by for such an hour as this. God's speaking. God's speaking to His people. God's calling His people for this hour. Rise to the occasion. Come. Come, he that had no money, come by without price. There is still a fountain flowing from heaven's throne room. Refresh us. Revive us, O God. Revive us, O God. Let it live. Let it live. Don't shove it aside, but let it live.